When I was studying theology and the history of Christianity, one of the early characters that stood out to me was Anthony of the Desert. He was born around 250 AD. He was a humble, pious man, reasonably wealthy, and he decided to focus his life on God. So he gave away his property and sold his possessions and gave the money to the poor. And then he headed off into the desert to live a holy life in the presence of God. He wanted to get away from it all and solely focus on God. And in doing so, he became, as it were, the first hermit monk. The problem for Anthony was he became famous for doing this. He actually became a bit of a tourist attraction. And pilgrims would go out into the desert looking for him. And others went out into the desert to live with him. He even got a letter from the Emperor of Rome. He sought a quiet, holy life, but became what we might call today an influencer who people turn to for advice and help. A simple truth that I want us to think about today is that being holy is not a form of religious piety reserved for Sunday mornings, but an everyday practical lifestyle wherever we may be, in the place, in our family, in our work, in our social life. Holiness is not an abstract religious concept. It's not something that we attain in a sense, a momentary state of consciousness by meditating or being in the desert and getting rid of everything else. Rather, holiness is a continuous way of life that is intensely practical. So what do you think, as we heard our reading today and God's command, be holy in all you do? The emphasis is not simply to be holy, which is important, but to be holy in all you do. This is much more than an inner, private, personal holiness. It's an outward holiness to be seen in the things that we do. It is not just to be holy, where holiness is a state of being. It is to be holy as we live our lives in a very practical sense. And so there is a sense of being holy, but also doing holy. I'm really challenged by this thought, and I wonder how you feel about it when you think that God is calling you to be holy in all that you do. If we were to give being holy our best attempt, what would be required? Would we need to be like Anthony, go somewhere into the desert, into the wilderness, find a cave where there's no one else, away from internet, away from interruptions? Is that what it would take for us to be able to focus and to be holy? But even if I was there, I couldn't escape myself and my thoughts and my heart. And because of that, things that are unholy could still flood my thinking. God calls us to be holy. Paul wrote saying that God chose us in Christ before creation to be holy and blameless in his sight. God's eternal plan is for us to be holy. And so Peter asserts of us, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. And so being holy is essential. It's central to living a Christian life. As we thought about this before, the Christians in Peter's day had a problem. The people that they lived among thought of them as troublemakers. To counter this, Peter wrote to them saying, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. The Christians were being accused of doing wrong. And so Peter wanted to counter that by telling them to be holy in all that they do, to live such good lives that when people tried to accuse them of wrong, that the good that they were doing would be so obvious that there would be nothing to accuse them of. And so their holiness was to be expressed through living a good life. If you undertake a study of 1 Peter, you will find that many of the scholars highlight different aspects of holiness. Typically, the scholar Peter Davids points to our personal holiness, how we live as individuals before God, our inner spiritual life, our relationship with God. He also speaks of communal holiness, how the Christian community, the church, the people of the church family relate to each other, and also social holiness, referring to how Christians live in and relate to the wider world. This is how Christians interact with the laws of the land, the societal norms and expectations. When I think about holiness, more often than not, I think of it in terms of the personal holiness, the holiness that God has given to me through Jesus Christ. But in this letter, Peter is also stressing the outward holiness, the living a life doing the holy things, the holy life, to be so evident in our actions and in our behaviors that holiness is seen in what we do. So how do we grow and mature in this holiness of being and doing? Peter wrote, "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance." Practical holiness requires that we apply our minds, being sober and alert. In a sense, to be holy means we need to engage our brains as well as our spirits. We need to give thought to holiness, to pay attention to holiness, to be alert to it, to have holiness on our radar so that we're thinking about it and acting in the light of that. We can only be holy when we consciously focus on being holy and make it the goal of our lives to live holy lives. Peter teaches us that God helps us to be holy through the grace he gives us through Jesus Christ. God, by his grace, not only imparts to us righteousness and holiness so that we can be holy in his sight, he also dwells in us by his Holy Spirit, so that the very source of holiness comes to our hearts and our lives as God empowers us to live holy lives. Also, holiness is fostered through obedience to God. Peter recognizes this, saying, "You have purified yourselves by obeying the truth." Holiness is experienced through obeying what God has said to us and how God leads us. As we obey the truth of Jesus' teaching, obeying God's word, we align ourselves with the holiness that God gives to us. To seek God's will is to walk in and towards a holy life. Peter goes on to write, "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." To be holy, We need to get rid of the unholy aspects of our lives, things like malice, hypocrisy, and lying. There is an action that is required to remove those former ways, those deeds of darkness, to throw them aside, to cast away the things that would hinder us in our quest to be holy. What might you need to set aside to allow you to live a holy life? To take the words of Jesus out of context, you can't serve two masters, both sin and holiness, because they're mutually exclusive. And I'm sure you know this from your own experience. When you walk the path of sin, you can't expect the company of angels. But when you walk the path of holiness, Christ walks with you. So on the one hand, we are to get rid of the things like envy and malice, while on the other hand, we are to crave the pure spiritual milk of our faith. And when we are craving for truth, thirsting for righteousness, when we are hungry for mercy and longing for peace, then we are feeding and fostering our lives in ways which will enrich holiness within us. When we sow the virtues of godliness in our lives, we will then harvest a life of holiness. It's obvious, as Hannah pointed out to us, if you want to stay clean, don't play in the mud. Rather, go and bathe in the love of God. So what difference does this make to us? Peter reminds us that we are chosen by God to be holy and to do what is holy. Be holy in all that you do. So holiness isn't limited to the spirituality of Sunday mornings, being prayerful, singing songs of praise to God. Holiness is a Monday and Tuesday and every day of the week way of living. And in this letter, Peter does more than focus on personal holiness. He looks at what it is to be a Christian community and how to live in a society and still to live holy lives. The practical nature of holiness is what he's pointing us towards. He's commanding us to live such good lives that the inner holiness that God gives to us seeps out of every pore into the actions of our lives. And that way, holiness becomes the brightness of God's glory seen in how we live through what we do. Just to be holy, to have that inner holiness, and to keep that private between me and God is like hiding my light away. While doing what is holy allows us to shine like a light on a hill or like stars in the sky. The acts of a holy life blaze in the darkness and shine in light on the truth of God. Such holy acts of goodness and kindness may even attract people, perhaps even invite them to open their hearts, their eyes, their lives to God. Therefore, in the week ahead, I encourage you, be holy in all you do. Amen.